to Russia's four-year ban from the Olympics, world championships in a range of sports, the FIFA World Cup, and a ban from hosting or bidding to host major events. Russia plans to file lawsuits with the Court of Arbitration for Sport to challenge the wide-ranging sanctions imposed by the World Anti-Doping Agency, or WADA, saying it's all a political conspiracy. But according to some high-profile officials, it doesn't go far enough. Russia's response, meanwhile, is one of defiance. The suspension was announced by the World Anti-Doping Agency, or WADA, earlier this week after finding Russia guilty of supplying doctored lab data. However, WADA's vice president and US Anti-Doping Agency chief executive both claimed Russia got off lightly by avoiding a blanket ban. Individual Russian athletes who can prove they are untainted by the scandal can compete as neutral. And Russia can compete at Euro 2020 next year, as the football championship's not a global competition. Sports writer Ian Herbert has tracked this story for years. He is with us from the UK. Hello, Ian.
Hello, nice to be on the show.
I think it was 4 years ago that we spoke, and really,
was the compelling
evidence there then? Has anything really changed with respect to the evidence?
No, I mean, you're totally right. That's that long since we talked actually on the programme about it, and... No, I mean, it's worse because the evidence originally uncovered by Richard McLaren, the expert who looked at this, the lawyer who looked at this for WADA, is very much still there. That still applies. Russia was supposed to be trying to get back within the sporting fraternity by making certain sort of documents available, details of athletes available by January of this year. And now we've discovered that a lot of the thousands of those documents were either not disclosed or they were tampered with. So it's almost like pathological inability to actually play by the rules and to be transparent with all of this. And I think it is incredible that we're still talking about it. But it's also incredible that they're actually going to be able to, as you said in the preview there, to stage games at the 2020 European Championships. They'll say to 2020 quarterfinal. Their athletes will still be able to run under an independent banner at the Tokyo Olympics. And I just sort of think, when will we learn that something very strong and actually all-encompassing regarding a ban is necessary to actually, you know, shake some sense into the Russian state?
What has changed? What's been the story of the last 4 years since that compelling evidence came forward? Just remind us what it was, by the way,
So that evidence came to bear, and it was kind of almost like something out of a John le Carré novel, actually, which we talked about right back in the midst of time, as you say, where basically it was a state-sponsored attempt to actually cover up doping which was carried out to ensure that Russian athletes would perform well at the Sochi Winter Olympics on Russian soil. So the Russians didn't want to be embarrassed by not performing well on their own soil. So it was a very shadowy system going on where doping happened. And they covered their tracks by basically swapping urine bottles, which would have shown that athletes were doped. That was uncovered by WADA. And then at the 2016 Rio, Russia were banned, but quite a lot of their athletes did compete as independent athletes, not representing the Russian state, if it could be demonstrated that they weren't doping. The problem with all of this, of course, is that if you actually remove thousands of documents and lots of data, how do you really know whether an athlete was actually doping or not? So, and I think actually, how do you really, I suppose, make it clear to, make it painful to you like? And actually, the people at the top of the Russian anti-doping agency, RASADA, even they admit that the actual information released to WADA in the latest tranche of documents, which was supposed to, you know, represent transparency, even RASADA admit that there's been some jiggery pokery going on. But it's all about the Russian state and their determination not to lose face and the determination to demonstrate that a WADA ban is just everyone ganging up on them. Incredible, almost beyond belief.
What's the international sporting politics that's been part of this? Because they've been sort of tentative gestures or quite, you know, medium gestures undertaken and then retracted. What's going on there?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, for a lot of individual sports, Russia is a major financial contributor. So if you actually talk to, as I have done, some of the individual sporting federations like swimming, weightlifting, which is a big story, which I think will break in the next 3 or 4 months about Russian weightlifting, or you name it, really, basketball, any numbers. Individual federations often don't want to really rock the boat with Russia. They don't want to kind of come out very strongly against them and say strong things. The IOC, the International Olympic Committee, they've not really been strong in their condemnation of Russia. There are links there with Thomas Bach, who's at the top of IOC, and Putin. So I think Russia has money, has power, has influence. And that's why you see, I think, really, in terms of the politics of sport, you just don't see the kind of blanket condemnation that you would really expect of serial cheating like this, which I think to most listeners would be almost beyond belief, crazy, that you actually say, okay, well, to rehabilitate ourselves, we will agree to release documents to you, you know, Watchdog, WADA, and then when it comes to releasing them, you don't actually let thousands of them are not actually disclosed, and that Russia think they'll get away with that.
So thousands just missing, right, and others manipulated.
Missing, manipulated, yeah, exactly, precisely, yeah.
Including some actual suspicious cases that were under the spotlight. Just disappeared.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Disappeared. I think what's going on here really is that there are quite a lot of, you know, names of individuals who perhaps if it came out that they doped, that it would be an embarrassment to Russia. You know. So, but what about all the New Zealanders and all the Brits who've actually, you know, not won medals because of them? You know, what about that sense of, you know, it's national justice, really? I think. And as you said at the outset there, so they will appeal to the court for arbitration in sport, and they will basically, they're expected to argue that, a lot of experts are saying to me that the way they'll argue it is that the computers were perhaps in some way not entirely efficient, and that, you know, it might be it can't be demonstrated that the computers were working correctly or something as bonkers as that. So, but the CAS case will draw out. It will be a drawn-out process. It will go right through to the Tokyo Olympics, and I think you'll find that this is a story we're continuing to talk about right through then. They won't just take this. They will appeal it and appeal it and appeal it.
While they're appealing it, the ban is in place, however?
Yes, the ban is in place, however. Yeah, that's right. But I think probably, you know, while the, like any appeal process, that, you know, in a sense it won't be finite. There will be, in a sense, that it isn't quite finite until the actual appeal process is exhausted. But certainly, on this side of the world, there are an awful lot of people who are kind of pretty angry about the fact that this time, in next year, the Russians will again be allowed to compete under, you know, an independent flag, if you like. And also the Euro 2020, which is a big focus for us because, you know, London is hosting a lot of the fixtures for that. It's a Europe-wide tournament this time. But St. Petersburg is going to will be a venue for fixtures, and Russia will be basking in the acclaim and the publicity of the fact that they're playing, for example, Finland in one of the early games in that tournament. It's a very interesting fixture because of this history between Russia and Finland. It's Finland's first tournament. If the 2018 Russia World Cup is anything to go by, Putin will be there in the stadium. You know, it'll create a sense of Russia as the great, you know, sporting organizer, etc. And yet, here in the background are all these sort of cases of just flagrant cheating, really, which seem to be able to pass off with impunity. That, you know, they don't seem to be able to hurt Russia. They can continue to behave like this.
Were you surprised, given the history, that this ban, partial as it is, was brought in at all? Or was the evidence now that incontrovertible that it would have been humiliating not to?
Oh, yeah, no, I don't think there was any question about... I don't think there was ever any question that there would be the ban in this form would come into play, just like it did last time we talked. You know, Russia was not allowed to compete as a nation in Rio de Janeiro, those Olympic Games. You know, it was only the individuals who could demonstrate that they weren't part of it. I think what surprised me most was that it wasn't stronger this time, you know, that somehow they managed to kind of... I just think if you've got I think I think we would both agree, wouldn't we, that if either of our nations were found, if the organisations, the state were found to have been involved in organised cheating like this, that all of our sporting athletes have to, you know, it's the punishment has to cover them all, because it has to hurt. You know, it has to be something which, you know, makes that kind of action prohibitive. But they seem beyond the pale to me, really. They seem to be able to act with impunity and really kind of not be hurt and actually demonstrate this sense of victimhood that it's the rest of the world ganging up against them.
Ian, thank you. Sports writer Ian Herbert from the UK.